Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are, or you wouldn't be here. So let's get on with the show. Here's Brad.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. The Townsville Fire are the WNBL champions, and what a game. What a series it was. Botton, I'm even talking NBL at the moment. What a series.
It was fantastic. And that game, too, is as good a game of basketball as you'd want to see. 108 to 105. I mean, I know it went to overtime, but that was just a phenomenal game of basketball. It's such a good ad for the sport and the league.
41 lead changes.
Yeah.
9 was the biggest lead of anyone or something like that. It was phenomenal. 9 and 8, whatever it was. Oh, man, that was a game that, where when that 3 hit at the end, I'm jumping off the couch.
Yes.
I was just like, you know, like they get the offensive rebound, they kick it back out, and that brought rain, that shot. You know, when you shoot and you're just like, that felt like it took 4 minutes to get out of her hand and just go over it. And just to be able to see the composure, oh my goodness, what a series.
I haven't seen one like that since Rupert Sepwall in 2000. It might have been off the glass. No, it was a semi-final game against Illawarra, and CJ Bruton was playing for Illawarra at that time. Brendan Joyce was the coach, and Rupert shot it and shot the 3, missed. David Stiff got the rebound, pushed it back out to him. Second time, nothing but net, forced overtime. They won the game in overtime. Net.
Rupert Sepwall, it's always off the bank when he's shooting from the 3. What's going on there?
That was a bit different. That was so similar to what happened with Mila Sowar and then Chantal Horvath getting the rebound and kicking it back for a second attempt.
We'll come to Courtney Woods in a minute. Mila Sowar, how good was she?
Down the crunch, down it.
20 points in game one. Yep. And then to be able to match it up and have 18 in game two, I was just like, she looks so young.
She ties the game to force overtime, so she saves the championship. And then she drives and hits the basket that puts them up in the overtime. Perth have one more play. They bungle it. Ali Wilson gets a foul in the process. They go down, and Lucy Olsen knocks down the 2. And then Chiba still has a shot. She has a heave from halfway that hits two parts of the ring. Yes.
Yeah, I tell you what, that looked like it was going to drop.
Mila Sowar,
she's 25. Right? Yeah. I know she was born in 2000 because I know it was around the Olympics and stuff. But, I mean, what composure for being able to, that out-of-bounds play where they ran and she took it hard and laid it up. And every play, that was, you know, we talk all year about, you know, the Women's League and, to be able to watch teams run sets and get plays and run out of bounds play and say, this is what we're going to get, and we get it. That Amy Atwell 3 for Perth where they, you know, didn't switch properly Townsville and they hit the 3. It's good offense. I love watching it. You know, I thought, you know, absolute shout out to Townsville. What a great series. 2 and Hobody. Sorry, but we did not predict that.
Well, we did. We did predict 2-0.
Yeah, no, you did. I actually said 3, but Perth winning in Townsville, you know, like, my goodness.
I mean, we had it wrong as to who it was, but I at least could say I thought it was only going to go 2. But look, Townsville was the best side all year. They finished as the regular season champs. Mm. They played Perth. Beat them 2-1 during the season, 2-0, so that's in the grand final, so that's 4-1. You can't dispute that Townsville was the better side over Perth in any way, shape, or form.
I just want to go straight to Shannon Seabon. That is a master coaching performance when everyone predicted, you know, like the energy that they played with, the aggression, you can see they wanted that from the tip-off. And that's a shout-out. I mean, all the girls, fabulous, but for a coach – that was really well scouted. It was really well, you know, coach, right decisions, players down the stretch, just like absolutely. And you saw what it meant to him afterwards in the interviews and he choked up a few times and just so happy for that program because they really, really wanted that.
Well, can I say, I thought last year when they lost the series, the championship to Bendigo, that Kennedy Kiriyama coached the pants off him. He really did. Okay. And I thought Shannon made some diabolical errors in if you think back to that Bendigo lineup, that starting group, with the exception of the American import, were all in their 30s. Okay, Sammy Whitcomb, Kelsey, Mariano, all those. So you want to run a group like that in a series. You want to run them and run them and run them and run them into the ground so that their tongues are hanging out, and you with a younger, fitter team roll over. Well, Shannon didn't do that at all. He let them play half-court basketball, and they're not going to, no one's going to beat that group in a half-court game. So I thought that was a very poor effort on his part. And I was so thrilled, because I rate him as a coach. I was so thrilled to see him completely out-coach Ryan Petrick and win this series. The fact that at training they've got those pool tubes, you know, and they're holding up that,
to try and
simulate the height and what you can expect of Han Ju. You know, the things he did, the fact that he sent Alex Fowler, a bigger, stronger body, against Cipitone, who has, Alex had been posting up and bully balling smaller guards, so he puts a bigger player on her a few times, so she takes that away from her game. Although in game two, she went at Alex Fowler a couple of times too and scored, and was very good. But I mean, just the things he did, like, attack Han Ju. Like, you know yourself, with a player of that height, like, that's the equivalent, say, of a 7-footer in an NBL game. If you try shoot fadeaways against that player, you're playing right into their skill set.
Simon Dwight was the best one, who, you know, you attack his chest and go hard.
Exactly right. Yeah. And so that's what that was the information. You saw it. All the girls from the fire are driving right at Han Ju to take away the strength she has of blocking you at distance. So, I mean, I just thought it was, and you call it a masterclass, I would second that. I thought that was a brilliant performance by Shannon Seabohm and his girls. And, you know, you've got the safety net of a game three at home, but they didn't need it. They didn't make it play with abandon and just follow the program. Boom.
I know, again, we'll get to Courtney Woods. I thought Alicia Froehling was just tremendous. You know what I mean? 25 points, 8 rebounds. But she, good point. Good point. And what it was aggression, but in a good way. Zoned in, I'm ready, and went hard at it, and went straight at Zoo, went at everyone, didn't matter. But just a really fun, really fun series to watch, and I really enjoyed it. But let's get to Courtney Woods. Did that girl deserve the MVP? Obviously, she got it. But, man, she was phenomenal.
28 points, which is a career high. Good time to get it.
Not
most
bad.
Important game of the season.
Well, let's get 8 rebounds and 7 assists with that as well. Not bad. Yeah.
Yes. A fantastic performance. There was not a single person on the team that could defend her. Yeah, they couldn't defend her. And that mid-range jump shot, people were saying that the mid-range is dead. Hey, look again. Look again, because Courtney Woods will beat you from the mid-range. She was phenomenal, and what a terrific leader too on the floor. You know, and she fouled out in regulation. There's a lot of that grand final to go that she didn't actually participate in. So to put them into a situation where they could win it, and then to still keep actively engaged in the way she was on the sideline, have nothing but admiration for that.
Lucy Olsen, I thought she was great. And, you know, like Chantel Horvath too, I really like what she gave. She gave some good minutes. She's actually, I think she might be playing ABA down in Sydney, or NBL one. Sorry, I shouldn't say ABA. I'm still that old school. But, yeah, I know there's talk about her. So that is just phenomenal.
She only had to get one offensive rebound and she got it.
She got the one that was counted, didn't she?
Well, here's the thing. This is the thing with Ryan Petrick now. We've gone down, there's 12 and a half seconds to go. They're leading 90 to 89. Han Ju goes to the foul line, knocks down both free throws straight away. Townsville takes the timeout naturally. So they're ahead 92-89. They've got to run a desperation play for a three-pointer. Why would you sub Han Ju off for that play? She has just won the defensive player of the year in our competition. So it's not like she has to be, defended, like look after at the defensive end because she can't play D. She's our best defender, for crying out loud.
You know what? We spoke about this off air, and I can see why Ryan would do that, because it would be a switching scenario. Because if they need the three,
I get it.
But
she
can't
guard Horvath.
They need the
rebound. And I'm telling you, I would bet my bottom dollar the way she reacted when she made those free throws and she thought they had it won, she would have got that defensive rebound. There's no way Horvath would have got that. So to sit her down in that moment, and then to put her back for the very last play, which again, Cipitone with an outstanding pass from the sideline near the center to the other side of the court, where Hanshu catches it and they've switched and they've got Abby Ellis on her and she misses that shot. Lucky for them, goes out and they still get another attempt and Annalie Maley misses that shot. So
yeah,
you know,
yeah, they had the chances. Yeah, you can't walk away from that and go whatever. You know what I mean? Like yeah. Annalie, you asked me off air, how many minutes did she play? Was it 43 and minutes and 2 seconds, mate? That's how long she played, and she had 27 points, 19 rebounds, 6 assists. Whoa. She can't do any more.
No, she could have. Maybe she could have if she'd played 38 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, as a coach, you've got to stick with what you've been doing. Mm. And he's been playing, you know, Gorman and the other one off the bench. Oh, we're having a blank. Graham, the two G's, the GGs.
Graham.
Yeah. And Gorman off the bench.
Tegan Graham, you're talking about.
Yeah. Mm. And I thought, well, yeah, I just. For a guy who has not won a game two in his life at home and all the game twos, this is third championship series he's been in the last 3-4 years. They've always won the first one on the road and lost the second one at home and then lost the third one. Here they didn't get the first one and they lost the second one at home. Yeah. I'm thinking, you've got to examine what you're doing.
When you look at the stats, and you know I'm not a massive plus-minus fan, plus-minus and stuff, but what I found interesting is every player in Perth had a minus with their points, plus-minus, except one, Hanju, had plus 20.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen that when you get a player plus 20 and then the next closest to you is like one. You know, Ali Wilson was plus one, sorry, but everyone else was minus three, minus seven, minus one, minus two, minus 12, minus 11. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's just such a big differential.
Now have a look at how many shots Hanju had, and out of that starting five, she had the least.
She had 10 shots.
Right. Mm. Now, you got to go to her, and she's a willing passer. When they double or triple her, she'd pass it out, but they don't go to her enough. The only two players that pass her the ball on a consistent basis, everyone gets to the ball now and then, but on a consistent basis is the two Alexes, Wilson and Cibatoni. They try to get the ball to her.
What about that little drive she did, and she looks like she was going to shoot it and then just dumped it off to Annalie Maley? She's one of those players where the game just slows down, you know, and I love watching players like that. It's just it's DMAC when I think of that. When I think of a player that slows down, the one that comes to mind was DMAC all the time, where it just looks like you are just so graceful on the court. And Alex is like that for me. I thought she played 23 points. You know, you can't do any better than what, you know, she tried to give it. And she was gutted afterwards, I felt, for her and for the whole team, obviously.
Yes, because for the bulk of them, they've been through this before.
Yeah.
That's why I say, you know, like for three attempts now, they haven't been able to win a game two at home, and it's cost them championships. And I think Ryan Petrick's got to have a look at what he does, because I said to you, the one flaw they have is that they don't have a fallback. They play full on, really entertaining, come down, gun it up. We're hitting shots. We're fun to watch. Yep. But when you're not hitting shots, when the pressure's on, I mean, you say, well, not hitting shots, they still scored 105 points.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but defensively, what they gave up 108. That's the area that they really need to. I don't think Ali Wilson can guard anybody at the moment, and Amy Atwell can't guard a chair. Like, any, you put the ball on the floor, you're getting past those players. And that word was out within that Townsville group. Don't you worry. They knew.
Yeah, they attacked.
They attacked.
Yeah,
I thought Ali Wilson was disappointing. I know she's like 13 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. How can she be disappointing? She was near a triple-double. Well, I thought from early in the game, she was talking to opponents. She was a little distracted. She got after the referees a fair bit. She just didn't seem like she had her head fully in it all the time. And they needed more from her. You can say, well, they need triple-double. They got plenty. Yeah, they also got a bunch of mistakes. They got 5 turnovers, including the critical one that puts Lucy Olsen on the foul line to clinch that game. So, you know, I was disappointed with that.
I felt a little bit sorry for her, and I don't want to put the referee in this, but I felt she got hit on that play. But, you know, you can look at others on that. Mate, we're not going to talk the best moment. We know that's Mila Soar with the three. We know the player of the round is Courtney Woods. But look, just a final words can go to you. For me, it's like a huge congratulations for Townsville.
Fantastic.
You know, just absolutely brilliant for them. But, Boddy, you get the final words on the WNBL.
Well, I'm just going to say that that you could not have asked for a better final. You could not have, the crowd was phenomenal. They were loud, they were into it, and they were riding the drama. Some of the camera shots of the crowd, they were absolutely riding the drama and theatre of it all. It could not have been a better finish. I feel sorry for Perth, but they've been in this situation before repeatedly. They've got to move forward as a ball club. Ryan Petrick needs to have a look at some of the things he's doing, because, you know, you can't lose three like that. Let's turn to Shannon Seabone, learned his lesson, wins another championship. Now he's a multiple championship winner. And prior to him, there was Claudia Brassard, who, as we would have seen today, was appointed coach of the new Tasmania Jewels. So that's a huge appointment there. I think she beat out Cheryl Chambers and Guy Malloy and one other. Fantastic. So that Townsville style, which she had there under Chris.
Yeah, it's going to go.
She was his assistant. So that we're going to see that in Tasmania. It's going to be a bit like the Scott Roth situation. So,
yeah,
looking forward to next season. But that, to finish on that note, on such a high note, was, you know, you couldn't have asked for more.
No, I couldn't agree. Well, thank you. That was, we just asked Boddy to have the last word. Well, he had the last book. That was well said, mate. So thank you so much for that. So,
man, I had to edit all the time when I was writing. I can talk now.
Yeah, that's true. All right, delete. Okay, let's move on to the NBL. Obviously, we have had those Australian games, if that's what you want to call them, and they're over. And now we move on to what will be some fantastic games this week. It starts Wednesday night, where the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix will take on the Perth Wildcats John Cain Arena. The loser, they have to play the winner on Thursday night's game between Melbourne United and Tasmania, again, John Cain Arena. And the winner of the first games, the Southeast one, goes straight to play Adelaide. And then the next one of those ones will be playing the Sydney Kings. Botty, what are you expecting? Is there going to be any upsets?
Honestly, I don't know what you'd call an upset in the Southeast Melbourne Perth series, because they played four times and both won twice. Both have won in their opponent's venue. So that means Perth winning in John Cain Arena would be no shock. Southeast Melbourne has played some of the most consistent basketball of the year. So them winning would be no surprise. I've got to think Elijah Pepper might now become the X factor, because that young man did so extraordinarily well for Australia in those two walkovers over Guam and the Philippines. But to get 28 and 23, I think it was.
Shot well.
To do it. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, well, the opponent was this or that, but he did it on an international floor. He's going to come back feeling like he can't. He'll be seeing the ring like a hula hoop. Yeah. So that adds something.
Can I just give a shout out when you say that? Like, I saw a tweet, Mark Arena, this week from Perth, where, you know, someone said, how can, you know, John really be over in Australia or whatever, you know, when they're doing this? And just to see an owner come out and go, representing your country is one of the greatest privileges you can ever get. Why would we ever stop that? And I thought, well done. Good on you for saying that. Yes. Right or wrong, whatever it is right. It is an Australian John really may never get another chance to be the head coach of an Australian team. Pepper, all of these guys that go over this. So I just thought, wow, that's like he could have just sat back and said nothing, but he didn't. And I thought that was a really cool response, to be honest with
who
you. But anyway,
the
owner, Mark Arena.
And you know what I say to that? Hey, Mark Arena.
Oh, buddy, you're so old. Okay. All right. Moving on, it was a good story until you came into it. Okay, by the way, everyone, I can see Boddy. He's nearly fallen off his chair with laughter here. It's fantastic. All right, Boddy. Let me say this, though. No, well, hang on. Let me stay with Southeast. Yep. I'm saying both of those teams want to win that, because right now you'd want to play Adelaide. That's just the way it is. No one wants to play a team with, you know, the MVP in Bryce Cotton. I get that. And anything can happen. But right now, if you had the choice, you want to take an Adelaide team that's struggling on four. But look, Adelaide could come out and win this thing 2-0 and smash everyone. We know that. That can happen.
And
no one
would be surprised if
not at all.
But if you're going on the form, you're looking at the Ignite Cup, you're looking at the last game in Perth, or maybe that was a sort of...
Even the last couple of weeks, if you call it.
Yep. So you're sort of going, okay, who would they like to play? Would they like to play Southeast Melbourne? I don't know. Would they like to play Perth? I don't know. Which of those two
Adelaide would prefer? Honestly, I think right now, I think Adelaide, it's about them. And I think if you ask anyone in that squad, it's like, it doesn't matter who we play. If we don't play the way we're going to play, either of those teams will beat us. And I think the Sydney Kings will be the same. I don't really care who we play. Let's just go get it done. But yeah,
How much fun would it be to have an Adelaide-Perth series? All due respect to South East Melbourne, who I love and would still be playing Melbourne-Tasmania winner, but Adelaide-Perth series in the light of the Bryce Cotton, all of that, you know.
Wouldn't it? Well, no matter what can happen, it can still be a grand final.
Yeah.
Right? It can still be the finals. So you're right. Let's move on. I am predicting Phoenix to win that, by the way. I think that's who will win that game in there, and I think they'll take on Adelaide. Perth will then go home, and I think they'll play Melbourne. I just think I love Tasmania. I think they're great. They'll go into Melbourne in John Cain Arena, and they are playing with house money. They will not give a crap.
You got that wrong, because if they win, they're going on to the semi-final, right? If Southeast Melbourne was to lose, they'll play the winner of
Tasmania, I'm saying Melbourne. I think Southeast win. Sorry if I said what my mind is.
Right. Yeah, okay, yeah. You think South. Sorry. I'm thinking that Perth wins and that Southeast Melbourne ends up playing Melbourne in a throwdown.
Right,
basically,
okay.
Another throwdown.
Right, so you're saying Perth, that's Adelaide? That's how I see it. Yeah. Right, you're saying Perth, Adelaide, then you've got Southeast Melbourne versus Melbourne to play Melbourne. The Kings. I'm saying Southeast Adelaide, Perth, Melbourne to play in that. Sorry. Obviously, that would be in Perth if that was to happen my way, where it would still be in Melbourne if it's your way. I just think, look, Tasmania will play with house money. I think they'll play really well. I don't know how long they'll last on it because, you know, you can just – I just don't know. But – if Melbourne can get back to that team that was playing like they were in that first 9 games of the season, they can squeeze into the semis, buddy. I think they can go on the road and win.
Yeah, I don't have any doubt. I think that Tasmania has done an extraordinary job. But when you look at their starting lineup now of Tiger Campbell, David Johnson, Nick Marshall, Pajuk Deng and Josh Bannon, how many of those guys would have been starting if they had their very best team available? Not too many. And the only guy they got off the bench that's got any real experience is Anthony Drimmick. So they're playing with six players.
Who still looks like he's underdone. Yes. He's had a tough year.
5 3/4 players. For them to have achieved what they've achieved has been an outstanding testament to them and to the coach. Completely agree. But Melbourne against Southeast Melbourne in that last game of the regular season started to look a little bit ominous. So I see them eliminating Tasmania.
Yeah, okay. All right, well then obviously we will be then back next week, obviously, talking about the next game, which I think they call it the play-in or whatever, what it will be, is I'm not sure if that's Saturday, but I think it might be Sunday, which will then be the winner to place the Kings. I do know next Wednesday has already been announced that the Sydney Kings will be playing their first home game, whoever that may be. And I think it might be the Tuesday is the Adelaide series. I'm not sure if it's the Tuesday or the Thursday. I'm not sure, but I believe it's Tuesday in Adelaide, Wednesday in Sydney. But don't hold me to those. That's what I
won't even quote you.
Yeah, but you'd like to hold me. Okay.
I wouldn't like to hold you. And I tell you what, I wouldn't like to quote you. And you know what I always found funny during my journalistic life was the amount of taxi drivers that, who, if they knew who I was, would say, oh, I had so-and-so in the cab, but don't quote me. And I thought to myself, do you ever read an article I've written? Have I ever quoted a cab driver? No, I have not. Jesus. Anyway.
Yes.
What about this? And just quickly before we sign off,
yes.
We should give some credit to John Rileen, the Australian team.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
you still got to win.
Players on there,
you still got to win.
Players on there that we sort of thought, what are you doing on a Boomers lineup? But you know, some of them really stood up.
Came out firing, didn't they? The old good old Guam team. They looked like they wanted to have a little crack at the Aussie Boomers.
Yep, and then the Philippines. I mean, they played a half. And then basically we, you know, showed what we should show. That was the first visit back to that venue of the horrific incident of many years ago. So I don't think too many people would have been connected with it.
I still can picture all of that. Unbelievable. All right, Botton, thank you, my friend. Thank you, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that. Again, a massive shout-out to the Townsville Fire. Congratulations.
Five-time champions now.
Five-time champion. Love it. Brilliant. Oh, Milan. So hard. Wow, what a shot. And congratulations, Courtney Woods and teams. A well-deserved break. We'll see you next time.
Hey, speaking of big games last weekend, There was the big Legends game in Melbourne, raising money for bowel cancer research.
I saw that, yeah.
I was a little bit surprised you weren't invited.
Oh, no. It's a Legends game. Yeah, that's why I wasn't there.